You are listening to a message that was given at Living Word Chapel, Oracle, Arizona. It is our hope and prayer that God will use this message to speak to you and enrich your life. For more information, visit lwcoracle.org.
For those of us that trust in the Lord, it just gets better and better and better. Well, today is Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday is the day that Jesus did come into Jerusalem riding on the colt of a donkey. And the people that were waiting for Jesus, everyone was looking for Jesus. You have to think about that because of all the great things that he did. They were talking about him. Some people loved him. Some people hated him. But everyone was talking about him. And he comes into Jerusalem on the donkey's colt and riding, and people start to put palm branches down. That's where we get Palm Sunday. They start to lay down the pathway with palm branches, and they're celebrating Jesus, and they say, "Hosanna! Hosanna! He who comes in the name of the Lord." And what Hosanna means, it means save us. Save us. And really, the literal is save us now. And the Jewish people wanted to be saved. They wanted to be saved from the Roman Empire. They wanted deliverance from the oppression that the Romans and the Caesars were putting on them. And so they were saying, "Save us. If you're the Messiah, save us now." And Jesus was the Savior. And he was there on that day to save them. But not from what they wanted. He was there to save them from what they needed. And what he was going to save them from was their sin. I think the cry of Hosanna is still true today in America. I think people are probably echoing that statement, "Lord, save us. Save us from whatever circumstance that, you know, they're navigating and we might be navigating through, whether that's relational or financial." We talked about finances right now, and we're getting ready to have an election, a very important election in 2024. And we're already hearing a lot of animosity, right? A lot of hostility that's going on, and most of them are really saying, "Save us. Save us from this political party or that political party, or save us from this agenda or that agenda." And I would say that God even today is saying, "That's why I'm here. I'm here to save you." But not through a politician, but through a Savior. And his name is Jesus. Because here's the deal, is that sin will cost you. In fact, every choice we make comes with a consequence. It's estimated that people generally make 30 to 35,000 choices every day. You get up in the morning and you say, "Should I get out of bed? Should I make coffee? Should I drink a cup outside or inside? Should I go to the bathroom? Should I wash my hands after I went to the bathroom?" And you'll answer that a little bit different than a five-year-old. My grandson will say, "Grandpa, I washed my hands like 5 days ago. I'm good." So we're posed with all these choices. And every choice is going to cost you. You know, I got up thinking, "Man, it's cold outside. I think I'll just watch online. Shauna, let's just stay home." She said, "I think you better go. You're preaching." "Oh, you're right, I better go." And so we're posed with all of these things, and we're going to be talking today about the cost. The cost. Remember last week, we almost got through the outline. when we were talking about recognizing that there's another entity in the playing field of life. In the garden, it was a snake that slithered in, and he began to have a conversation with the woman. The woman entertained that conversation. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to have dialogue with us. He wants to have a conversation. That's the first place. And then he wants to convince us that we cannot trust God. Did God really say? And then he generalizes that you cannot eat any of the fruit that's in the garden that God has created for you. And God, you know, we knew that there were two special trees in the middle of the garden. One was the tree of life, and they were able to eat that fruit of that tree. And when they did, they were able to live forever. And then there was another tree of the knowledge of good and what? And evil. Well, here's the thing is that Adam and Eve had never known evil. They never knew what would happen and the consequence that they would be met with when evil would come into their life. The anxiety and the shame and the fear and all the things that maybe someone has dealt with in modern times. And so we see that enemy was there to try and deter them from the thing of God. And the power that the enemy has, it still holds true today. The power is in the lie. So that's his main weapon, is to lie to us. You're not worthy. You're not good enough. God doesn't really love you. Why do you even love yourself? Look at you. You don't have anyone in your life. Everyone that you've had has abandoned you, and all these different lies that the devil throws our way. And so Adam and Eve, they had never known anything evil. All they knew was good. And now they're posed with a choice that is going to change the course of their life forever. But it wasn't only going to change the course of Adam and Eve's life, it was going to change the course of everyone else. Because Adam and Eve, they are our great, 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 exponentially great grandparents. Amen? We all have the family line to Adam. And so I want us to go to Scripture, because as I want you to have this in your mind, Jesus coming into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey, and everyone saying, Hosanna, Lord, save us. Glory to God in the highest. And he's coming in, and they have the wrong picture, the wrong vision for what God wants to do. He wants to deliver them from this consequence. And unless you know the beginning, you'll never know the middle, and you'll never be able to win in the end. I'm going to say that again. Unless you know the beginning and you fix the beginning, you'll never know how to fix that in the middle so that you can win in the end. How many of you want to win? How many of you want to win in life? Yeah, I do too. And so we got to go back. What made us lose? So verse 8, chapter 3 of Genesis, when the cool evening breezes were blowing. And let's just pause right there, because it tells me a lot about the presence of God. They were in the presence of God in the perfect creation, and what you find there is that God took care of them. How many of you like a cool breeze? That's what God wants for all of us, to be in the coolness of his presence. The man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. That's important right there, because they walked with God. They had fellowship with God. They had communion with God. Okay? So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. They had never done that before. Before they ate the forbidden fruit, they were in communion with God. They walked with God. Hey, Lord, you're here. Anyone in here ever hid from God? Anyone in here, you're amongst the trees. The trees could mean anything that we put before us, thinking that we can hide from God. It could be religion. It could be philosophies. It could be all different kinds of things. But they hid among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" Now notice how the Lord, how he is in relationship and the way that he responds to the man. Now the serpent was very accusatory. He was very divisive. When the man and the woman hid from God, the Lord just simply asked a question. That's how you begin to recognize the voice of God. God speaks to us many times, and sometimes we don't hear his voice, but when you want to hear God's voice, you understand, how does he speak? Where are you? Okay, that's very important right there. And the man replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. Who told you that you were naked? The Lord God asked. Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? And the man replied, it was a woman. That you gave me the wrong woman. You gave me who she gave me the fruit and I ate it. Then the Lord God asked the woman, what have you done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me. That's why I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. Now let's pause right there. Notice the Lord God did not put a curse on the man, and he did not put a curse on the woman. The first curse that we see in this dialogue right here is with the enemy of our souls, with the snake. What does it speak to us about God and humans? God desires to restore us. God desires to make things right in our lives. He said, you're going to crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause, I'm going to cause hostility or enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. Notice it doesn't say offsprings. It's not plural. It's not, he's speaking about a future offspring whose name would be Jesus Christ. That there'd be this battle going on between the salvation of man and the enemy not wanting for man or women to be saved. Why does the enemy try to keep us away from the presence of God? Why does he try to keep us from fellowship with God's people? Because he doesn't want you to be restored. He said, but I'm going to put this enmity, this hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. And he will strike your head. I mean, he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. In other words, the strike of this son or seed of the woman is going to be a deadly, deadly strike. And the one that you will do on his heel is going to hurt him, but he will rise again. It's the first example pointing us to that. Then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth. So someone say, man, that's a cost. Someone say it. Has it affected anybody in here? Yeah, just say that was painful. And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. And I don't know if you have noticed, but there is a battle of the sexes that continues to this day. It's a battle between, you know, a wife and a husband, a woman and a man. And you've got all this tension going on because there's a cost when we don't walk in the good purposes of God. And to the man he said, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. Now pause. That's important right there. So there's two curses that God gives in the very beginning. The first curse is on the serpent. The second curse is on the ground. Are you with me? Now I want you to just put that in your pocket because we're going to unpack it. It's very, very, very good when the Lord opens up our eyes to see. He says, command not to eat the curse because all of your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it, you know, the ground that's been cursed. And to the man he said, it will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. So this past week we had an invite to people, and it's amazing how you guys and gals, you come to the church and and you serve by making the grounds better. We had to take the thorns and the thistles out and cultivate, and people get sweat and they work hard, and we did that at the Kearney campus. It speaks right to this. He says, by the sweat of your brow you will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made, for you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. And the last time I looked, the ratio of people returning to the ground and turning into dust is 1 out of 1. Every one of us will meet this fate, and it doesn't matter how hard we try to escape it. All of us are going to die and return to the dust. But look at the curses that God gave you. He said to the serpent, you are cursed more than all other animals. You're going to crawl on the ground. You're going to crawl where the dust is. And to the man, he said, you're going to return to the dust. And here's the thing, that these things come together. They cultivate together. And it tells us that the serpent, the enemy, will never be able to forget what he did to the man. He will always have to eat the dust to remind him of what he did in God's good creation. And there's a cost. There's a cost to society until we get it right with Jesus Christ. And here's the thing, we can. That's what Easter is about, is you can get it right with Jesus. But can we look at the cost so we can maybe align ourselves with what God has for us in the very beginning and bring that into our modern times? You see, there is a cost when men don't lead in their God-ordained roles. That's exactly what the enemy wants to do in your life, because that's exactly what the enemy wanted to do in Adam's life. He wanted Adam to be passive. Who did the enemy go to? Eve. He went to the woman. And look at what the Bible says. The man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So who heard the Lord? Who did he go to? The man and the woman. But look what it says. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, where are you? And the first thing that I see is that God didn't give Adam a pass. Notice he didn't call Eve. He didn't say, Eve, where are you? Woman, where are you? He called to the man, where are you? And it speaks to me that this man in the very beginning didn't get a pass, but it speaks to me that men in modern times, we won't get a pass with God. We are called to lead. We are called to lead our families. We are called to lead in churches. We're called to lead in society. We're not called to put all the responsibility on the woman. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that at this church, we have many men that lead. I thank the Lord that we have many men that stand up for the purposes of God. But look at the question, where are you? Locationally, where are you, Adam? And God knew where he was. Physically, where are you, Adam? Why is it so important that we're present? We're present in our families. We're present in those places that God has called us to be present. And let me say something, that you can be in a place physically, but you might not be there presently. You might not be there with your mind. You might not be there with your actions. And God is calling men to be people of action. God is calling men to be restored through the power of the living God back to the created design of God. And how do I know that? Because data doesn't lie. Data speaks to me. I looked at this statistic from America First Policy Institute from last year. It says data suggests 84% of homeless families are headed by women, and 90% of homeless and runaway children come from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicide are from fatherless homes. 85% of children who exhibit behavior disorders are from fatherless homes. The presence of a father is important. God's called to Adam, where are you? Physically, where are you? The writer of the Book of Wisdom, he put it like this in Proverbs 22, verse 6. He says, train up a child in the way that the child should go, and even when they are old, they will not depart from it. It's very hard to train up a child in the way that they should go if you're not present. Dad, be present. Dad, your children need you. Dad, your wife needs you. Dad, your family needs you. How many of you believe that location is everything? So for years in my marriage, for 6 years, I did not know Jesus. I did not know this. And I was not present in my family. But when Jesus saved my soul by his grace and his mercy, guess what he did? He said, you need to be present in your family's life. Because here's what I know for sure. That when your kids stray, when they walk into the sticker patch, and I know nobody in second service ever had kids stray into the sticker patch, but first service, they have a lot. And so when your kids stray, it's one thing when they respond and they say, Dad, you were never in my life. You were never present. It's another thing when they say, Dad, I'm over here, but you've always been there. It's one thing when your grandkids, when they're straying away and you've modeled this for your adult children and the grandkids begin to default into different things, and they might see in your adult children that are walking away that's contrary, but they look back and they say, my grandfather, he has walked with God. He's been present in the family. He's been present. And they begin to default into that way because you have been local in their lives, not L-O-C-O. That was before Jesus. And that loco, bro. You're local, L-O-C-A-L, in their lives with the presence of God. You see, Eve didn't have the responsibility to lead. It was Adam. Amen? And then not only are you present physically and locality, but where are you spiritually? Where are you, Adam? You are not only supposed to subdue the earth and name all the animals and lead your wife Eve and be present in whatever she's doing, but spiritually, because I have this relationship with you and we walk. Now, it wasn't like this. It was actually right here in the garden, and they walked together. They had fellowship. Adam, where are you spiritually? And what I've come to find out is God is always calling out to us at different times of our lives. Where are you spiritually? And it's very easy for us to believe the lie of that snake in the garden, even in modern times, and to be pulled away from things that don't honor God. And the Lord still speaks to us, and he says, where are you? Where are you? You know, God always raises up people that will be bold and speak into the multitudes and into popular culture, and they don't care what they're going to face. They just speak, and they're a voice for God. There's this guy, and I don't even know if he's fully surrendered his life to Jesus, but God has given him a platform. It's a huge platform. He's a world leader. He's from Canada, and Canada has almost banned him in everything that he does, and he speaks. He's a psychologist. He speaks into the mental health of society. He's got a big platform in America. He sought out people, spend a lot of money to have him speak, and recently he spoke to churches because he said the only way that society in the world is going to be restored is through God and through his word. And he said, churches, you need to start speaking to men. And this is what he said. His name is Jordan Peterson. How many of you heard of Jordan Peterson? And Jordan Peterson recently spoke to churches, and he said this. Here's a call to all men. You need to call men. And he said, we want to call you to the highest purpose of your life. In other words, don't aim low. Don't lower the bar. We need to raise the bar. We want to call you to the highest purpose of your life. We want your time, your energy, your effort, and your will, and your goodwill. We want to work with you to make things better, to produce life more abundant for you, for your wife, for your children, for your community, for your country, and the world. I want you men to know that there's a greater purpose that's inside of you because you're created in the image of God. And if you grab on to God, let me tell you, you'll be present. You'll be present physically and locally, but spiritually, you connect to Jesus Christ. And when you do, it'll change you forever. It'll change you forever. And you're honest and you're transparent. And last week I talked about drunkenness and all these things that should not even be named for those that follow Jesus. That we should be connected to the things that matter. And the things that matter is God. And Jesus, and it's to men. It's not for your wives. It's not for your daughters. It's for men to understand there's a higher calling and not to say, oh, if you want to spend some time, you know, in church, if you want to, you know, if you want to go to a men's retreat, if you want to. No! You need to. You need it. You need to be connected to the things of God. You need to be connected to Jesus. You need to be connected through the Holy Spirit. Because you're going to give an account to God. And then he said to churches, this is what I say, most importantly, tell the young men what they can do. He doesn't say women. He's not speaking to young women. He says, tell the young men what they can do. Ask more, not less, of those that you are inviting. So when we come to Easter, let me tell you, invite them, because God has a word. He's got a word for everyone that's going to come, and I'm going to speak to men. And I'm going to speak to women. And that's not going to be me. It's going to be Jesus. And Gina's going to speak to children. Ask more, not less, of those that you're inviting. Ask more of them than anyone has ever asked. And let me tell you something, beloved. You need to know this. When you walk with God, God is going to ask you more than anyone has ever asked. And until you're that person, you'll never walk in the fullness of God. Until you're that person, you say, Lord, here I am, send me. I'm tired of my wife leading. I'm tired of my daughter doing the things of God. It's time for me to stand my ground and serve Jesus. Remind them who they are in the deepest sense and help them become that. Now, here's the third part of where are you? So we found who are you in location. Who are you spiritually, or where are you? Where are you? Where are you now emotionally and mentally? Look at the response that we find in verse 12. The man replied, it was the woman that you gave me. That's why I ate it. What you see there is instability and not confidence and boldness to say, Lord, I'm responsible. I should have been there. And that's exactly what happens when the enemy comes into our life, is he wants to take your rationale. He wants you to think you're losing your mind. He wants you to think you're losing your family. He wants you to think that you don't have a backbone. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And the first thing the Lord showed me, the first thing the Lord spoke to me in 2020 was get your mental health the best it could ever be. Get your emotional well-being the best it could ever be. But guess what you have to do? You have to invest. You have to invest into having not only the best locality. I'm going to be present in my family. I'm going to be present in my church. I'm going to be present where God calls me. Not only spiritually, I'm going to get my life right with God. I'm going to confess my sins one to another so that I will be healed. But then he also wants us emotionally and mentally to get our minds aligned with the purposes of God. I'm going to say something that's going to maybe get some of you upset. This comes with sometimes exercise and eating right. It affects your mind. It comes with what you're taking in. I talked to a young man recently that's a high-level leader, and he's brought someone into his house, and he said, man, it's hard. He said, it's hard because this other younger man, who he got him a job and all this, and he said he just he can't make those changes. And I said, well, you need to instill in him, first of all, faith, but you need to instill in him for him to start putting something in his head that's going to change the stinky thinky. Are you with me? What are you guys putting in your head? Look what Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, and he says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." Now look at this. He's not talking to moms. There's a cost. There's a cost if we don't allow God to shape us emotionally and have the mental health possible. Because here's the thing. Hear me, man. Hear me. You're supposed to make your children better mentally, emotionally. You're not supposed to talk down your children. You're not to burn them out by saying you can't do nothing right. You're worthless. You're not going to amount to anything. That's not what you're called to do. You're called to teach them how God sees them, that they have worth, that God has a plan for their life. And the only way they're going to get that plan is if they devote themselves to God. Now there's a cost when women aren't thriving in their God-created design. Because the world and the devil and the flesh, it wants you to thrive, but not the way God made you. The world is going to speak to women a lot different than God will. Your flesh is going to speak to a woman differently than God created you to be. And the devil hates you. You need to know this. And he'll use you. And he'll lead you to do things that are going to bring a lot of heartache into your life. See, there's a design that in the way that God created the woman, and we find that in chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 18. See, the man was alive and everything was good, and then the man said, "No, things are not good." We read it. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be what? To be alone." And so God said, "I am going to make the man a helper who is going to be just right for him." So God gave a design for a woman just like he gave a design for a man. And that word for helper is the same word that's used for God in the Old Testament. So it says that woman is going to be a savior to the man. And I can speak this. When I started following Jesus, I started seeing my wife as a savior under Jesus for me. And God showed me, give her much worth. In fact, give her more worth than any other woman in the world. I went to her when she was doing worship. Shauna leads worship. If you're new with us, my wife is the one that was leading in praise and worship. And I went to her and I just said, first service, she was standing right there. And I said, there's no one like her. There's no one like her. No one lights a candle to my wife because God gave her to me. And I'm better because of her. Now, look at the question that God asked the woman. The man, he says, "Where are you?" To the woman, he said, "What have you done? What have you done? I created you to be a helper, not a leader. I created you with fashion. I created you with fashion that's a lot greater than some outside appearance. I've given you an inner beauty that no one can ever take from you. I've created in you strength. Why are you not walking in the strength? See, the devil wanted to weaken whoever he could weaken, and he went after the woman. Woman, let me tell you something, women, ladies, beautiful vessels of God, you're not weak in Jesus. You're strong in the Lord. You're not defined by what the world says about your beauty. You're beautiful in God. He's fashioned every one of you. I love how the book of wisdom, how it puts a woman, and how God looks at women, and how he formed women to be. In Proverbs 31, verses 25 through 31, he says, she, the woman, is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Someone say amen to that. Her children stand and they bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Don't be, oh Lord, do not be fooled by that snake that tells you that you can praise other women when God has called you to lift up your wife greater than anybody else. You don't give anyone even a second thought. You lift up your wife greater than anyone else. And women, you don't settle. You don't settle for second place. Woman, let me tell you something. You don't settle for second place. You're first place. God fashioned you. He made you. And I don't care what the devil has done. I don't care what the devil has lied to you about. Let me say that Jesus is your restoration. Jesus is your wholeness. Jesus is your answer. What have you done? What have you done? Go back. Go back to where he's called you. In 1 Peter, Peter's talking to women, and he says this to them. Go ahead and put the scripture up if you don't mind, Christy. He says, don't be concerned. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles. He's talking to women, expensive jewelry or beautiful clothes. Let me tell you why, because that's what the world does. It's okay to have it. It's okay, but it doesn't define you. It doesn't define you. He says, you should clothe yourself instead with the beauty that comes from where? From within. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. Let me say something to you. This is important. If you're coming to church and you're all dressed up, you're all dolled up, you got to put some paint on the barn, you got to do all these things. Let me say, God's not impressed. He's not impressed. I mean, people are impressed. Oh, that outfit that you got. Oh, Joseph, oh, you look so handsome. God's not impressed. He's impressed when you're a gentle and quiet spirit. You with me? This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They put their trust in God. Now, let me say this. In every denomination, every church, there's women of God. I love Cheryl. Cheryl's my niece. She's a miracle, by the way. She's a miracle. God has amazing plans for her. There's always women of old that have walked with God, and they're a model. I believe my wife is a model for younger women. I believe Carol Kraft is a model for younger women. I believe that Betty Saunders is a model for younger women. And it says, the women of old, right? The holy women of old, they made themselves beautiful. How? Lipstick? fashioned out on the outside? No, by a quiet, gentle and quiet spirit. Now, he says, they put their trust in God, accepted the authority. Oh boy. This is not me, it's the Bible. I didn't put this in there. They put their trust in God, and that goes along with accepted the authority of their husbands. I'm gonna pause real quick. Let's break that down. The way that a good home that has God at the center of it operates the best is when a husband is respected. When a husband is not respected, that will follow into society. Okay? When it says she called him Lord, it's not saying like, oh, you're everything, I'm going to worship you. We're not worthy of worship. We're not made to be worshiped. But we're made to be respected. And so the devil does not want for wives to respect their husbands, because if children, daughters see that, they won't respect theirs. And they won't respect their teachers. And they won't respect police officers and everything. Okay, so let's keep on going, because this is how we fix our country. We don't fix our country by, we vote for the right people, yeah, but they're not the Savior, Jesus is. And this is what needs to happen. So if any, all of you political people, you're going to get real mad at me. Oh, I'm a conservative. Praise the Lord. So am I. But I'll tell you, I've looked at the people that are in the Oval Office, and they don't impress me. Jesus does. Are you with me? Okay. Now, for instance, he says, for instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham, and he called him her master, and you are daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do. So the whole thrust right there is not that a husband should ever step and abuse. In fact, when a godly man that we talked about that is present physically, spiritually, that he's there with God, and that he's mentally and emotionally healthy, that husband will never treat his wife harshly in any way. I could never see myself in Christ treating my wife in a way that would hurt her. And that's Jesus. And I thank the Lord that my wife will never make a decision, a big decision, without having a conversation with me. I thank the Lord that when my kids told her, they would tell her, Mom, please don't tell my dad what I did. She said, I won't. You will. And it built harmony. It built respect. It built everything that we needed. So there's a healthy way that we're supposed to function. Now, here's my last point, and we're gonna close the service, okay? There's a cost when we give the enemy an avenue or a pathway into our individual lives, our marriages, and our families. He said, because you've done this, devil, you are cursed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And this is what I want you to kind of underline. I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. This points to the future, but it also points to the present. Are you with me? The devil won't win with Jesus on your side. Hear me. The devil cannot win with Jesus on your side. Greater is he who is in you than anything that's in the world. Amen. Anything, any demon. So men, here's your action. Where are you? I would invite you right now, if it's something that you think the Lord would have you do, to stand up and say, I'm here, Lord. Count me in. I'm right here, Lord. Count me in. I will stand with you, Lord. Count me in. There's something about action. There's something about a step. There's something about a stand up. You know, pride, you have to put pride aside. You have to say, I don't care what people think. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Women, I think the Lord would have me ask a question. What have you done? What have you done? Are you allowing for the Lord to shape you into that person that thinks less about how you look on the outside and how God is forming you on the inside? And if something that maybe today you say, Lord, I'm going to put all that vanity aside. I'm going to trust you, Lord God. I'm going to put all my faith in who you called me to be, for you to form in me a quiet and a very filled with grace spirit that's going to be beautiful to you, and that's what matters. If that's you today, just stand up and say, Lord, form me into the woman that you want me to be. And you take that stand and you say, Lord God, I just want for you to produce in me what I can't produce in myself. Produce in me. And that's what Jesus does. He's a beautiful, beautiful vessel of what only he can do. Father, in the name of Jesus, every person here, Lord God, that has taken an action step, I pray that you will meet them where they're at. Lord, not only that, Lord God, not only just meet them, but begin to propel them to where you're taking them. Like the wind that pushes a sail forward, a boat forward through the sail, I pray, Lord God, that, oh, Holy Spirit, that you will breathe afresh on these individuals. Let the presence of God Almighty be on them. Let the men, Lord, that right now, let the men be mighty. Let them be confident. Let them go places that they never thought that they would go because of Jesus. Let this be a defining moment, the week before Easter 2024, in the name of Jesus. And for every woman in here, Lord God, oh, Father, let the beauty of God flow from the inside out. Let the things that have happened in their past not define them. Today is a moment. It's a defining flag. It's a statement today that they are not who the world says they are. They are not who their ex says they are. They are not by the decisions that they were in at one time. They are mighty, beautiful women of the living God. And just fill them with your spirit, and we'll be careful to give you glory. And devil, we say today, in the name of Jesus, you have no power over us. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over our individual lives, over our families, over our marriages, over our relationships. We believe that God is greater in us than you who is in the world. And we declare it in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said amen, amen. And amen.
Amen. And on that note, can we sing this together, men and women? Here we go.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Death has lost its grip on me.
Come on.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus rose in victory. He's alive, alive in me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise the one who set me free. Death has lost its grip on me.
Together one last time.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Jesus rose in victory. He's alive, alive in me.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. So have a wonderful rest of your day. Enjoy the nice sunny weather. Wait, no. Enjoy the blizzard that is upon us right now. Be safe driving. And remember, join us next Sunday. Invite somebody. And we're excited to celebrate Easter with you. God bless.
This has been a message from Living Word Chapel. We hope that you've been blessed by it. Make sure you check out lwcoracle.org for more.